Boy, is this great.
This is going to be a good one, Wendy. You look at the sheet on what's on today's show, and I say to myself, I don't think we could mess this up.
Oh, we could.
We could. We're going to try our best not to. Later on, the editor-in-chief of Highlights Magazine will join us to talk about all things Highlights Magazine, like why Dennis Office can't have a Highlights Magazine from that decade. There seems to be some rule. They're all old. I don't know why. But most specifically to talk about Goofus and Gallant, who we went on about during the bonus hour a couple of weeks ago.
They're still here, looking very different and updated.
I don't like today's Goofus and Gallant. I like the Goofus and Gallant of old. The sketchy, you know how
black
it was?
Black and white,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, very black and white. Goofus's face was always dirty. I don't know why it was, but it always was. So we'll get to the bottom of that. That happens later on. Dr. John Duffy will be by at 11:05. And then at about 11:35, give or take a little bit, your chance to win another pair of tickets to see The Who.
Less than a week away.
It's less than a week away. It's very exciting.
No, I was gone yesterday. Did someone get all the songs?
Yes.
Somebody did finally get all the songs. It was not easy.
No, it was not.
Not
and it
easy
was
at all.
Harder till I told Jimmy Mack, listen, you got to make it a little easier.
Yeah, it was very challenging. Today, challenging, but in a different direction. We'll explain more later.
I can only imagine.
Oh, it's going to be fun. So your chance for tickets. And then if you don't win today, you can still buy them, certainly, or we'll give you another chance, your final opportunity on Friday's show. We have
right.
a game planned for Friday.
And the show's not till Tuesday, so,
right.
you know, you got time to make plans.
Yes, yes.
I'm already making plans, packing the cooler.
Yeah, already?
Getting
this many days
road
out?
Road trip snacks to head all the way out to Tinley Park.
What is the snack of choice when going to see The Who?
What corn nuts.
You guys are going to have corn nuts.
Corn nuts are the best driving snack ever.
Mm-hmm. And everyone in the family's on board with that?
Yes.
Everybody
original
them?
Flavor, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't have to say. We know that.
And they're easily weaponized.
Well, they're not.
If you need to throw them at people.
If you need to. If someone's blocking your view,
right.
I mean, you got a bag of corn nuts, it'd be silly to not do something.
You're not going
to
throw a Cheeto at someone,
no.
but a corn nut
well,
would work.
Well, you can't bring them in. This is just for the car ride.
Oh, they don't allow corn nuts in the venue?
It's a corn nut free zone?
Is
it an allergy thing? Yeah.
No, I think you can't bring in your own stuff.
Is there a picture of a corn nut by the entrance with a Ghostbuster sign through it?
Corny
the corn nut?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know why? They want you to buy their corn nuts.
Yeah.
Right.
They jack the price way up.
I haven't been to a big
because they bring
time.
Them in from China, so they're $300.
Not so much anymore.
Guys, we are in trouble. Anything we're going to buy is going to cost more.
I looked at the list, and I go, I buy that every day. I buy that every week. I buy that every 2 days. I buy that every week. Everything on the list.
I need a new sectional because I was starting to think about it. The average age of someone's couch is 6 years.
Yep.
We were talking about this off the
but
air.
But don't you think the couch people come up with that?
I was so going to say that.
All right,
come
but wait.
Because
I said to you off the air, our sectional in our family room has gotten a lot of abuse. It's 20 years old.
I know.
And you went, what?
But it's like the diamond industry saying, yes. Well, you should really spend 97% of your salary
right.
on a diamond.
I know.
Right. They would love for you to buy a new couch every six years.
Yeah,
but the couch that my parents had when I grew up, if you went to my house now, it's still there.
They made them better back then. And our parents just, they finished a room and put the red shag carpeting
right.
on the wall if you were the left
yes,
family.
Yes.
And then you didn't want to change the couch frequently because then you'd have to change the whole
right.
look of the room, all
right.
the decor. But one of our sectionals is about 20 years old and the couch in the front room is
yeah.
also 20 years old.
Right.
And you kind of rolled your eyes. How old is your couch?
The one, well, this it isn't fair because we bought two new ones last year.
All right.
But the ones we had,
okay.
we had a long time.
I mean, 20 years is a long time. Wendy,
20 years is a long time.
Yeah, but
6 years isn't. That's
yeah,
the point.
I agree.
Yeah, the ones in the living room, you never sit on them. I mean, we have one in our living room. And it's like sat on one.
Yeah.
My mom bought this Cruel chair. Not that it was mean, but Cruel work. And it was white with embroidered flowers.
Yeah.
I think it's still at their house. And we used to call it the forbidden chair because anytime someone would go to sit in it, she'd go, get out of that chair. Well, why do we have it?
The people, you know, the story I told a couple weeks ago about the people who live next door to me who had the Elvis Presley shrine.
Yes.
Like when you walked in, they had pictures of Elvis and Jesus, right? So they had a couch in their living room that had that plastic covering.
Very comfortable in the summer.
No one ever sat on once the whole time they lived there, not even once.
So why bother having the plastic?
I don't know. They would always say, just so, she was so afraid that somebody would spill high C on it, for, you know, just one of the kids or something. But forever, we, you know, the whole town would joke, who will ever sit in that chair? And of course, the answer is Elvis. If Elvis ever visited them, that'd be the chair that Elvis got to sit in. But it was ridiculous because it was in pristine shape, but why have it if you're never going to use it?
So the cover was on it in case Elvis would come by, so it would be only his bottom that would grace that couch.
Yes,
I totally get that now.
We'll
what if Elvis had shorts on? He'd be stuck to it.
Oh my God, that was the most uncomfortable thing ever.
Awful. And then you got to dust it too. Don't you have to dust the plastic?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes. Steve, what were you going to say?
Well, finish the story. Did Elvis ever go?
No, Elvis never visited my next-door neighbors, but it was just, it was so funny, because when you'd walk in the living room, she would the lady next door would poke her head into the living room and go, if anyone goes near that couch, and we'd all go, we know, we're not going to, no one's going to touch the couch.
All right, this is from the New York Post, guys.
What
did
they
say? Here's what it said. The average American couch is 6 years old, holds $1.55 in change, and has been cried on 17 times, according to new research.
Oh.
I've cried on my couch way more than that.
I just, it would be great to be, couches are expensive. I mean, really, they are very, very expensive. So if you're going to replace it every 6 years, good for you if you can afford it. I couldn't afford it.
And I need to now. We need a new sectional. And we actually have some springs that are broken in this sectional because I think Michael was 3 years old and was jumping up and down on it.
Yeah.
So there's a piece of plywood that's there.
Yeah.
The puppy has chewed on the lining underneath. So now would not be really a good time to get it while the puppy's still chewing.
No, not yet. Not yet.
So we'll go 22 years.
Did you see the story? This is couch related. This is our big couch chunk that we've been talking about all week. there was this guy who told the story about how the cops had come into his house. Somehow they believed that he was a drug dealer or had a bunch of drugs in his house. So the cops sent a team in and they went all through his stuff. And it turns out
it was the wrong house.
It was the wrong house, right? It was the right address, but the wrong house. It,
like somehow. A few days ago?
Yeah, it just happened.
Yeah, I heard him say like they ripped apart his daughter's bedroom set and
everything.
Stuff.
Everything. It was shredded. I saw the footage of it on the news that night. And for reasons I don't know, his couch had writing all over it.
Like it's material, though, graffiti material.
No, it was like notes. It was like if somebody needed a notebook but didn't have a notebook and just went, well, then I'll just use the couch, and they just wrote stuff on the couch all the time.
Like the Ray Rayner of couches, where they're like post-its all over it.
Not post-its, just like well margined. You know, everything was in place. It was like they kept a diary, but they went, just use the couch. Don't write it in a book. Just write it on the couch. Like the entire couch was covered in writing, and they didn't address that at all in the story. I mean, the big story was this guy had his house bombarded.
Terrible.
It's horrible, but I couldn't stop focusing on the couch and all the writing on his couch. And I don't think it was the DEA guys. They didn't come in and write, you know, oh, we went through the dresser, nothing in the dresser. We went through the that was like something that had been there, obviously. But I don't know why you would do that.
I don't. Now I have to find out.
It's very strange. Very,
all right,
strange.
Couch or sofa? Which do you say?
I always say couch.
Bertrand?
Couch. I don't know who says sofa, really. Is that an East Coast
thing? The hoity-toity. The elite.
I am neither hoity nor toity.
And you say sofa?
I do for the front room.
Oh, you do?
The couch is in the family room.
Oh. So
the sofa's in the front room.
It could be the same piece of furniture, but depending on the geography, you'd call it something different?
Is that true?
Well, they're different, so I don't know, but I bet you're right.
Yeah.
Sofas are more elegant. They go in the living room.
Yeah. Yes.
Couches are just like, you know, the lazy boys or the sectionals.
Right.
Oh. A sectional can never be
on
a sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And we have, you know how many naps we've taken on the average typical American couch?
How many?
36 times. I have napped on that way more.
Have you?
But I guess they're just saying 6 years. So 36 naps.
Six times a year, once every 2 months. It's about right, I guess.
All right. Yeah. People want to talk couches.
All right. That's why we're here. We're the Smith sisters.
Well,
you dream it. We'll talk about it. All right. It's Phil and Wendy. Oh, I blew our cover. It's WGN.
My couch is a very, very, very fine couch.
Did you change the lyrics?
With two butts on the cushion.
Oh. Made it
really
sexy.
No need to be pushing.
Oh.
The average American couch.
What else Yankovic just called? Here's what he said. He just threw up on the phone.
The average American couch, 6 years old, holds $1.55 in change. It's been cried on 17 times. The lifespan and usage of the average American couch unearthed how many life moments happen on these cushions.
Mm.
The America's typical couch has been napped on 36 times, played host to 32 catch-ups with family and friends,
mm-hmm.
and nursed us through 21 sick days so far.
No.
But that's all in just 6 years. I don't know anybody who has replaced a couch after only 6 years.
Yeah, that's just one of those stats they throw out.
70% of Americans rate their couch as comfortable overall. More than one-fifth said their couch is faded, and a similar number said it's now totally outdated. Ours is not outdated, but it is falling apart.
When we were couch shopping last year, so we needed two of them because the way our living room is set up, we always have one and then a matching one on the other side of the table in the living room. So we went shopping at a couple of different stores, furniture stores, and this is so unlike me, but I said to my wife, I need to do this. When couch shopping, I just sprawled out on it. I didn't just sit on it. I sprawled. I was like all over it. She goes, what are you doing? I go, I know this is ridiculous, but I need to make sure it's comfortable like this. Sitting is easy, but this, the sprawl, that's the key to a good couch.
You're not the only one that does
that.
Other
people have done that?
We actually sent a couch, returned a couch that we had ordered because of the sprawl.
Really?
That's why it's difficult to buy online. It really is. You need to physically
just fall apart on it.
Well, this one had like a, it wasn't crushed velvet, whatever it was, that like
velour.
Velourish, yeah.
Oh.
And you couldn't slide.
Oh, you got to have some slide.
No, I don't want to slide.
You need a little bit.
It's very difficult to maneuver. You had no maneuverability whatsoever.
You have to have a little bit. Because sometimes you're off by like an eighth of an inch, so you need to just be able to just quickly maneuver in.
After a couple of years, we asked them to take it back.
What? And leather couches, I like them, but that you slip off of sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Walter E. Smith is having their trade-in sale where they take your old couch and give you money off a new one, but got to wait till the puppy grows up a little bit. We were talking about the average age of a couch, and both Steve and Bill said, you know, there's no way people replace it every 6 years. Nancy, how long did you have your couch?
41 years.
How long? 41?
41 years.
Wow.
And it lasted through four children, 28 nieces and nephews.
Woo!
It was in pristine condition, too. But we bought a very good couch.
Nancy, would you put this, we were saying this earlier, a little while ago, things were built to last, and maybe that's gone away a little bit, right?
It has. We just replaced it just because I wanted to lighten up the colors in the room, and
yes.
The couch that we ended up with is not near, we bought the first one at Ethan Allen.
Yeah.
So it was built like a tank, and it looked beautiful. It really
never,
did. It was
you never
good.
Recovered it through all those years?
We recovered it once.
Okay.
And the reason why we recovered it was because it would have been too expensive to replace it, and it was still in good condition, so we recovered it.
That's excellent. 41 years, you more than got your money's worth.
Wow.
I sure did.
Were you a little shocked when you went couch shopping again after 41 years and saw the prices? Because they've changed a little bit in 41 years.
It has changed. But you know what? I think we paid probably as much as we did 41 years ago because I'm telling you, we bought the top of the line.
Yeah.
Our theory was to buy the best because it'll last. And so we saved and always bought, you know, the best that we could buy because we knew it would last.
It makes sense.
Although I'll tell you now, my thinking is a little different because I don't want to go top of the line because if you spend that much, you'll wait 40 years to replace it.
Yeah.
If you just get something that you like, then if your style changes, you don't feel so guilty getting a new one.
Exactly. That's what we decided this time too. We won't be around another 40 years. So
I hope you're wrong on that. But thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bill, somebody said that the writing on the couch from that pastor whose home was wrongly rated, it's the fabric. It's like written fabric.
You can buy fabric that looks like somebody wrote all over your furniture?
Well, yeah. I don't know what it says on it, but it could be like musical things or...
And Bill, that way you don't get mad when someone does write on your furniture.
Right.
It's that like brush suede stuff. Because my couch is like that, and you can take
No,
your
no,
finger.
No. This is actual literal black ink.
Yes.
It looks like somebody wrote on it.
Oh.
They make fabric with flowers, with, you know, writings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, little prints.
Haven't
yeah.
you looked through a fabric catalog
recently? That's all I do. I spend most of my day doing that. But this just seemed, it seemed bothersome. Like I wouldn't
like
be able to sit on it without constantly reading my couch instead of doing something else.
It doesn't change. Once you read it, you wouldn't have to read it again.
I've already read this. I need a new one. That's why people exchange them all the time. All right, we'll take a break. We've got all kinds of things on today's show. Your chance to win WHO tickets coming up. We'll talk about Goofus and Gallant and Highlights Magazine. And, of course, Dr. John Duffy. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I have to admit, I'm kind of excited here, Bill.
Kind of. I can't wait.
I have a fresh copy of one of our favorite magazines. Actually, it's June of 2019. We're ahead of the game.
Oh, that doesn't usually happen. Christine French Cully joins us right now, the editor-in-chief of Highlights Magazine, Highlights for Children, a magazine that has been in our lives forever. Thank you for being here, Christine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
We've got a million questions, so sit down.
Great. All right. I hardly ever get to talk about Goofus and Gallant.
Oh,
so this
excellent.
Is wonderful.
Excellent.
Before you came on, Christine, we were talking about Highlights Magazine, and granted, I might be on the other side of 50, and people our age totally remember this magazine. And Bill, you had pointed out that it was always in the dentist's office.
Correct.
And I got to check my dentist's office now. I got to be honest with you, Christine, I didn't know Highlights was still thriving.
Oh, that makes me sad.
I know.
We are thriving. I mean, we have four magazines now. We have 2 million subscribers every month. We publish books. We publish apps. We have a podcast. We are thriving, and we are as relevant today as we have always been.
Do you think maybe, Christine, that the fact that Wendy didn't know it still existed means she hasn't gone to the dentist quite often enough?
No, I am a little late for my six-month checkup, but please.
Why is it always in dentist's office? What's going on there?
Well, you know, it started in 1946.
Jeez.
And back in the day, it took deep pockets to start a magazine, even then. And shortly after, the founders, who were two educators who poured their life savings into starting Highlights, because they had a dream and they had a philosophy about kids and what they need to grow up to be curious, creative, confident, and caring. They ran into some trouble and they couldn't pay the printer. And it's kind of an interesting story, but eventually they hit on the idea of putting magazines where they observed a lot of parents waiting with their children.
Yeah.
And reception rooms was one of those places. So we started putting magazines in reception rooms with a lot of cards. Back then it was sold door to door. So the parent would pull a card out of the magazine, fill it out, mail it in, and we'd send a rep and sell the magazine to them. And it's continued to be a wonderful program for us, the reception room program, and it is a place where a lot of people see and remember Highlights. But we're everywhere. We're on newsstands. We have books in retail stores. Of course, we have a website. But it is interesting. There are lots of jokes and lots of really happy memories of people seeing Highlights in the dentist's office.
All right, I got to ask Bill something, because I just came across a page of a cartoon strip that it almost makes me want to cry, because I remember. Do you remember the Timber Toes?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I do.
They're still around?
Yeah, they're still around.
Oh,
still doing their thing in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are very excited about a specific thing, though.
Wendy and I are huge fans of Goofus and Gallant, and one day we started talking about them, and we got all kinds of response about their origins, about if they were brothers, if they were twins, why is Goofus such a bad guy?
He's misunderstood, if you want to know my opinion.
Wendy's right, he's so misunderstood, but I think if you name your son Goofus, you're begging with disaster, you're flirting with it.
How did this begin, Christine?
Well, the feature Goofus and Gallant was actually created by Highlights co-founder, Dr. Gary Cleveland Myers, back in the 1930s. He worked for another children's magazine then called Children's Illustrated Activities. And after he left that, he and his wife started Highlights in 1946. Eventually, they acquired children's activities and folded it into Highlights. But it first appeared in that other magazine in 1938, and they were elves. They were called the G-Twins, and they had pointy ears and very Spock-like ears. And it was eventually they acquired children's illustrated activities, and Goofus and Gallant reappeared in Highlights. I think it was in 1948 they made a comeback. They were still elves, and in fact, their parents even had elf ears back then.
Hmm.
But eventually, their parents lost their elf ears, and the boys did too. And or the
evolution,
elves did too.
You know how that happens.
Yeah, they morphed into regular little boys.
Right. But now they looked like twins to me because they looked very similar. Although Goofus always, you know, had like an angry. His
scowl.
Eyebrows were different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the big question, and we even debate it here. At one time, they did appear to be two different boys, and they had two different sets of parents, and then over the years, they began to look more like brothers or twins. And today, we think of them as being two sides of the same child, and we say that there's a little Goofus and Gallant in us all, and when we let our Gallant shine through, we show our best selves. We don't want kids to think that anybody's really all bad or all good.
Amen.
Christine, do you think that maybe the guy who wrote Fight Club might have gotten his ideas from Goofus and Gallant, that maybe that was maybe Tyler Durden is two sides of the same boy?
That would be an interesting question.
I got to tell you, I always sided with Goofus because I did feel like he was misunderstood, and I do feel like I was more Goofus than Gallant.
Mm.
So I really enjoyed reading these, and I'm looking at the June 2019 issue, and this is a pretty good one too.
Well, Wendy, you're right. I think Goofus is misunderstood, and a lot of people identify with Goofus. But we try really, you know, there are lots of jokes about Goofus and Gallant, and particularly after the election in 2016, there was a lot of things in social media about it, and we see all that, and, you know, we laugh too. But when it comes to doing it for kids, we take it very seriously. And we always try to present Goofus as a kid who makes some mistakes and maybe is a little thoughtless, but he's redeemable. You know, he's not hopeless.
Yeah.
And Gallant, we try to present Gallant in a way so that he doesn't seem like a goody-two-shoes, and he is likable. And if you read a lot of the episodes, you'll see that Gallant does make mistakes, but he owns up to them, and he handles things mostly in the right way.
Christine, why do you think, after all these years of Goofus and Gallant, Hollywood has not made a Goofus and Gallant movie? It seems like a natural.
People have approached us over the years with ideas, and it is a trickier thing to do than you might expect, because we do want to maintain the integrity of the characters in any movie. So finally, we decided no one's come to us with the right pitch. We'll devise a pitch ourselves. So we actually do have a couple really good pitches for our Goofus and Gallant television show, and we're shopping them around as we speak and looking for some development partners, and we're very excited about that because, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, it seems. And who would you cast? Do you have like a dream cast of who you'd put in the roles of Goofus and Gallant?
We haven't gotten that far.
I suggest Nicolas Cage as Goofus? I like Nick Cage as Goofus.
I was going to say Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell would be fun. Just think about it. You don't have to commit, but it wouldn't be a bad. I would love to see a Goofus and Gallant
movie.
We'll think about that.
You know, we started a podcast last year called Highlights Hangout, and for the first time, we gave the boys voices, and that was really interesting. They sing, and it just, you know, was fun to give them characters a whole new dimension. Good practice.
That's excellent.
The TV show.
What's the target age for Highlights magazine?
Our core readership is 6 to 9. We have some older readers and we have some younger readers. We like to say it's for kids of all ages. We get a lot of mail from adults who still love to read it.
All right, I'm looking through it. You have Dear Highlights. I have a hard time being nice to my sister, but I am super nice to my friends.
Wendy wrote that. She sent that in.
How can I avoid crying when I strike out? You have your picture puzzler, where I really had a great time. I might have been the one who marked up the picture in my dentist's office.
That was the best one, where you'd have to find, there'd be hidden objects in the picture, and you had to find them. That was the best. And that's a skill. That's a great skill for kids, isn't it?
Yes. Well, We try to encourage kids not to mark up in the magazine, because
Wendy,
we know it's passed around a lot, but But yeah. That's why you need to subscribe.
Right.
You need to subscribe to your own. Your own pages, totally bringing me back where kids used to draw pictures of certain things and send the pictures in.
Yeah.
And I like to do crafts, and you can actually, there's a craft page, Japanese flower art. There's a road trip roundup, find some wacky and wonderful destinations throughout the USA, and special snacks for pet pals, and I have a pet. This could be a perfect magazine for me.
Oh, Wendy, I'm going to have to get you a subscription.
Yes.
Oh,
perfect. Perfect. Can you hang on for a minute, Christine? We have to take a quick break. You're good on time?
Absolutely.
Christine French Cully is her name. She's the editor-in-chief of Highlights for Children, a magazine we've all grown up with. It's still going strong. We'll talk more in just a moment. Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Christine French Cully. She is the editor-in-chief of Highlights magazine, still going strong all these years later. Christine, go over those four C's with me. You want your kids to be curious, creative, caring, and what was the fourth one?
Confident.
Confident.
Isn't that something? Right. We all need confidence, and we have so many texts. Listeners just want to comment on Highlights magazine. I still give it to my clients as a gift, says area code 217. The families that have young children, the most recent Highlights was a gift to my son's stepdaughter. She loves it. Please tell Christine thanks for High Five magazine. My kids love it every month. We look forward to starting the Highlights subscription when they get older. So High Five is another one of your magazines?
Yes, High Five is our magazine for preschool children. And we have a magazine for babies called Highlights Hello, because it's never too soon to read to your baby. And this magazine is very innovative because it's printed on synthetic paper, so you can clean it with a Clorox wipe, because we all know when you hand a baby a book or a magazine, it goes right into their mouth.
Yes.
So we really double down on teaching kids a love of reading. And our magazines and our books don't teach kids how to read, but we do hope that we inspire them to read for fun and pleasure, because that's reading is a fundamental skill for life, but reading for pleasure is something that'll make us healthier and happier and even more empathetic.
So true.
I'll tell you part of our mission.
Here's something that's kind of jarring, Christine, and I'm sure you've heard this from other people who had not picked up a Highlights in a number of years. I'm used to Highlights being just simply in black and white, and now it's just bursting in color. When did that come about?
Oh, a long time ago.
Did it?
Yeah,
we're
probably
old, Bill.
the 80s.
Oh, that long ago.
Uh-huh.
And then what are some of the other major changes? Because it looks like Highlights, but then once you page through it, it feels like a very different magazine. It's a lot busier than I remember it being.
Well, you know, people tell me that, oh, it hasn't changed a bit when they pick it up. But I think what they mean, the essence of the magazine hasn't changed a bit. We remain true to our mission, which is to help kids become their best selves. And we worry about those four C's. And everything that we put in all of our products, magazines and books, we always start by asking ourselves, what does this do for kids? Does it make them curious, creative, caring, and confident? So that part hasn't changed. But, of course, the packaging has had to evolve as kids evolve. They're used to busier layouts than we used to see when we were children reading the magazines. They're used to a lot of color. They're used to fancy typefaces. It's probably more graphic heavy and with a little less text than you remember when you were a reader.
Do you think maybe because kids' attention spans have changed over a generation, you have to reflect that in the magazine to some extent?
I think so, yes. And they have so many more things to do, so many more options of ways to spend their free time, that we have to use bright images and lots of different ways to hook and draw them in.
I can't tell you how excited I am about talking to Christine. Christine French Cully, editor-in-chief, Highlights for Children. And what I'd like to say is, if you have a child between the ages of 6 and 9, go to highlights.com and subscribe, because it's so exciting as a kid to get something with your name on it in the mail. And I know they're on their iPhones and they're on their iPads, but something that just has their name on it and they can go to their room with their magazine and read it, I just think it's a great idea.
That's right. We call that the mailbox moment.
Yes.
When kids reach in and pull it out, and their name does appear on the back. It's a very exciting feature of getting a magazine.
That's why when my daughters were little, we had all of our bills made out to them. They felt more important that way.
All right, we got to talk Goofus and Gallant. Here's what it says. There's some of Goofus and Gallant in us all. When the Gallant shines through, we show our best self. Basically, it is two scenarios, and Goofus is much of a Goofus, and Gallant is the good one. I don't want to give away June's Goofus and Gallant in case, you know, people haven't gotten theirs yet, but right. Bill, you have a different issue.
Well, it just shows, much like the old days, although not as severe as the old days. The old days, it would always say, Gallant helps mom pull weeds while Goofus is smoking weed. It was stuff like that. And you go, oh, that's not good. But, it shows Goofus and Gallant each in a situation where they're by a door, and it says Gallant uses the handle, which he does. He helps open the door the correct way. Goofus pushes through the glass, you know?
Jeez.
And that's, it's just classic Goofus and Gallant. Do it the right way or the wrong way.
Yeah, it's really intended to be a springboard to discussion and thought about how we treat other people, how we navigate all the important human relationships, and also how we treat ourselves. I think it did used to be more didactic. I mean, there were some crazy things Goofus did back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and today they're really pretty funny, the irony of them, you know.
But, Christine, you know what's great, though, is after the Goofus and Gallant panels, after the strip itself, it has letters from kids, and they say things like, this is from a kid named Alexander, I felt like Goofus when I was super angry with my friend for weeks. Then another boy says, I felt like Goofus when I had some friends over and I yelled at my little brother to go away. So it's you go out of your way to be relatable to the kids. That's perfect.
Right. I think the feature does allow kids to kind of arrive at their own conclusions. The scenarios are simple and familiar to kids, so they can imagine what the consequences are of both of the boys' actions. And then we hope choose to let it influence their own behaviors in one way or another.
Sure.
Yes, we all have our Goofus and Gallant moments, and you can share it with Highlights Magazine. Before we let you go, someone has texted something, and I need to share this with everyone because it's going to make everybody cry.
Uh-oh.
It says, area code 773, I'm 44. Back in 1983, my cousin was upset that my parents got divorced and wrote into Highlights Magazine saying I had to go on the weekends to visit my dad, and she was sad. Highlights wrote her back. She still has the letter. I still read it at the dentist and get mad if a kid has circled the hidden pics. So sorry, 773, that would be me.
Yeah. You know, we get tens of thousands of letters from kids and emails from kids every year, and we answer every single one of them.
Oh.
And that story gave me a little bit of a chill, but it's still happening today. And in fact, recently an independent filmmaker made a documentary about Highlights called 44 Pages, and you can see it on Netflix. And there's a very moving section of that film that talks about how we answer reader mail and gives some anecdotes like that.
That's excellent. We'll look for that. That's 44 Pages was the name of the documentary?
44 Pages, and it's on Netflix right now.
Love
excellent.
It.
Christine,
I love that we do that for mail.
I think
we serve some of the purpose to kids millions at a time and one at a time as well.
So nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I had a wonderful time.
It's Christine French Cully. She's the editor in chief of Highlights Magazine. If you want more information, just go to highlights.com. It's all right there. Keep up the great work, Christine. Great talking to you.
Thank you. Nice speaking with you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. That's so, it brings
very
me
nice.
Back, man.
Yeah.
I want to be a little girl
they
again.
They answer everybody, whatever you send them, they answer back.
That's
amazing.
Pretty great.
Does Cat Fancier do that? I don't think so. Pretty sure they don't.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Look it down now. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert, and friend of the show, Dr. John Duffy, joins us. How are you, Dr. Duff?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. You were so nice. You gave me condolences, which I'm assuming extend to Wendy as well.
No, more to you. Bertrand said this yesterday, too.
About the loss of Tim Conway.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely, when Tim Conway died, I thought of you immediately.
Oh,
whenever
thank
a
you.
Legendary old school comic dies, that seems to have broken new ground.
And
I
he
think,
did.
Like, Bill Leff loves this guy.
You know what was so nice was, and I'm sure you both saw this, was just the outpouring of not only celebrities, but from everybody, just saying the earliest hysterical laughter I remember came from Tim Conway.
Yeah.
That the magic that he brought to the Carol Burnett Show and other roles, but most notably the Carol Burnett Show, you can't even describe it to somebody. I've tried to describe it to other people. There's a salesperson here I was riding in the elevator with, and we were talking about it, and she goes, yeah, I don't really know much about him. I don't know.
Look him up.
I was explaining his magic was making his co-stars laugh. And,
yeah.
You know,
I have to say, in the Duffy family house, the very Roman Catholic, very silent, you can hear the clock tick upbringing in yeah. my house. That was when Tim Conway and Harvey Korman were on together
yeah.
and they lost it. There were six of us who were laughing our heads off. Like that, finally, we lost all our composure and we lost it.
Patton yeah. Oswalt posted a clip yesterday, and I watched the clip last night. So what it is it's a scene. It's a Carol Burnett scene, and they're all on a couch. They're all next to each other on a couch. And Tim is talking, and then you see Carol Burnett, Vicki Lawrence, and Dick Van Dyke. It was the last season of the show. They're laughing so hard that they can't move their heads up. All three of them have their heads. All you see is the tops of their heads through the whole scene. And they just let him go. They just let him talk and talk and talk, and they cannot stop laughing.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, John, how you watched it with your family. So did I, Bill. I'm sure you did,
yeah.
too. That's where it hurts even more, because that brings you back to a time where, like, the whole family watched TV together.
You think about that, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about this yesterday, clients of mine and I, and they were saying, where is that show now where we can all sit and watch it together without that panic of, like,
right.
something inappropriate's about to come along,
right.
or we have to have some important talk about something? This was just fun, right?
Yeah.
This was just, like, real clean family fun.
Right.
And they always managed to keep it clean enough. I mean,
yeah.
you know, I suppose it was racy in moments for its day.
Right. I didn't get it as a kid.
I didn't either. I don't think any of us did.
Yeah, it was a magic magic show.
It really was.
He'll be so missed. I mean, he's just
yeah.
such a good guy. We wanted to talk about something having to do with sleep, but it's kind of the contrary of something we're used to hearing. What is it?
Yeah, so there's all this research in the past year and a half in England and in here in the States in the past couple of years. Typically, the diagnostic manuals list depression, anxiety, attention problems, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder as having sleep as one of the symptoms of each of these maladies. And what research is showing is, oh, that's not necessarily just a symptom. That typically is a cause, maybe not a sole cause, but absolutely a cause and a driver of all of these things. In other words, if we're not sleeping enough, and the vast majority of us are not sleeping enough, especially our kids, or if we're sleeping way too much, which I think way fewer of us are doing that. But if we're not sleeping enough, we need to really attend to that, because for our, especially our kids that are suffering anxiety and depression, and an awful lot of them are, I find more and more and more every single year, if we can get them establishing better habits sleep-wise,
mm-hmm.
suddenly I think we're out of the woods at least a little bit, or diagnostically we're a notch or two higher than we would have been otherwise.
We all know that, but how do we do that? How do you get a teenager to go to bed before midnight?
It's so hard to reestablish old habits, right? Because especially you've got teenagers. I had a teenager, and either they're busy with work because they've been doing stuff after school, or there's Netflix and Game of Thrones
yep.
is on right now, right? So I'm binge watching that. I've got to keep up with my friends. So there has to be kind of a hard reset in our households in order to make this happen. Honestly, I'm telling families right now, you may as well wait out the school year and do the reset in the summer, because to do everything at once is kind of difficult. But the way to reset is to do it yourself. So in other words, if it's like, I know the phone, for example, is super stimulating if it's by my bedside, even if it's off, which there's research to support that as well.
Right.
So we're going to keep all the phones, including mom and dad's phone, downstairs in the kitchen charging all night long.
I can't do that.
It's super
no.
hard.
I can't do that.
Yeah. No,
so how do I expect them to do that?
And you might not be able to, but if you can't do that, then at least you establish, like, okay, everybody goes upstairs at 11 or 11:30. And I find myself kind of negotiating with families about what that time is, because my anxiety goes up as a family's bedtime gets later.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because the kids are getting up earlier than they used to in mm-hmm. order to get stuff done and get ready for school. And science still says that 8 to 10 or more hours for teenagers is what they need. right? For their brains to develop adequately, for them to really attend to the next day, they need that much time. I know hundreds of teenagers, and I have yet to meet the kid that gets that much
sleep. I was just going to ask you that. And all of your clients, and Bill, I don't know how many teenagers you know. I don't know anyone that gets 8 to 10.
No. No, so I find myself buying half hours. I always figure, like, because kids now don't know what it's like, I don't think, to feel rested, to feel really rested. And they feel, and I think there's this myth that I'll make up for it on the weekends. I'm going to sleep till noon or two,
right,
and then I'll be good to go come Monday. And
doesn't work that way.
No, sleep research are pretty clear about that.
What do you make of this, John? I've heard other people in professions just like yours say, not only do you need this many hours of sleep, but in that hour before sleep, you shouldn't be watching television. Yeah. Because that's still playing in your head as you sleep, and that doesn't make for a very well-rested sleep.
So for the kids and adults I've worked with who I can get reading as opposed to watching, and it's hard to do, right? But the screen is stimulating, and the book typically is more drab, and it tends to lull you toward sleep.
Right.
If you can, if you're willing to take like a melatonin or something natural, even if it's a placebo effect, if that eases you towards sleep, that last hour is no small thing. The key there is to be consistent about it, especially if you find that this helps me sleep. If my wife were here now, she'd say, if I spend 15 minutes on the phone, I can then put that away. Breathe for a few minutes. I'll download the Calm app or the Headspace app, do a quick little meditation, and then I'm in a zone where I can go to sleep. So I'm all in favor of whatever works, but that last hour is no small thing. You cannot go from watching, you know, the end game to falling asleep within 5 minutes.
Or Grand Theft Auto and then try and, you know,
Or wind Fortnite. Down. Or Snapchat.
Right.
So keep away from any kind of computer screens, gaming screens, your phone.
I play word games, and I swear to God, I fall asleep with my iPad on me because it lulls me to sleep.
It's weird, but word games do seem like if you're playing Word with Friends or something like that, that does feel different than I'm on Snapchat, I'm on social media, and I'm reading the new thing, and I'm refreshing my feed. Mm-hmm. That feels different because you are then.
No emotions involved.
Exactly.
Ah.
Yep. So it's kind
of a big thing.
In a way, you want to bore yourself a little
bit. Right. It's called Word Crossy. I highly recommend it. Oh. It's a really fun word game, and it really just kind of it shuts my brain off and allows me to go to sleep.
In the end, that's the goal.
Yep.
Whatever you find that shuts your brain off and helps you go to sleep, great.
Run with it.
But we have to model that for our kids because they are not in the habit of doing that, right?
Yeah.
Their goal is, I don't want to miss anything, so I'm going to keep looking until the moment I can't keep my eyes open any longer. And we have to remember, unlike when we were kids, this is silent. You know what I mean? So you can get the door closed, lights off, and we might think, oh, they're getting plenty of rest in there. But I've talked to enough kids who will tell me, oh, no, I'm up till 2 or 3 in the morning on this thing.
Oh, great. All right, let's take a break. More with Dr. John Duffy. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. That's right, 312-981-7200. That gets it done.
All right, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we have clinical psychologist, friend of the show, Dr. John Duffy on the air with us today. Bill, I don't know if you remember this, but when I got in this morning, the first thing I said, other than hello to Walter Jacobson, was only 2 more weeks of school.
I heard you say that.
And you looked at me, and it's like, I don't have school, but when the kids have school, pressure's on to get them there on time. Yeah.
When the kids have school, the whole family has school, and the pressure is on to get them there on time, to get them fired up for this home stretch when a lot of them have sophomore-itis and junior-itis and senior-itis and eighth-grade-itis.
And psoriasis. Some of
right,
the kids have psoriasis.
Recommend some good shampoo for that, right?
That's the key. You're right. But this is tough also because then the weather gets to be like it is today. And if you're a kid, you're looking out the window going, I still want to be outside instead of in here.
The setup is rough. Yeah. It really, really is, right? Because kids have windows in every classroom and they can see like, and they know, oh, we're this close, you know? And yet, for a lot of kids, if you look at this moment right now, in a lot of schools around me anyway, there is probably 20 to 25% of grades in every class on the table right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So so the way to fire kids up, if your child is invested in grades at all, is to say, hey, let's reset. let's call this the beginning of a very, very short semester or quarter, and let's just fire up and run through the rest of the race, mm-hmm. you know, because if you spend an hour or two a night from here on out, you can go into summer feeling good about how these last couple right. of weeks left.
Went Makes there. A difference.
Yeah, it's easier to say that now than it is in January when it's freezing. There's nothing. You're unhappy.
Right.
You're a little down. Muster a whole bunch of energy and study for several hours a night. That just is very difficult to get kids yeah. fired up to do. But right now, there's this little bit of window,
home
right?
Home stretch. That's what I say every morning.
That's
You're
what
in
it's
the
all
home
about.
Stretch.
Yes. You want to fire your kids up with the home stretch idea for sure. And let them know, hey, you have X number of days. If you study an extra 15, 20 minutes, that's
right.
going to make an impact on your grades in even your most difficult classes. You can,
yeah.
you can boost almost anything up a grade if there's 20% on the board.
Yep.
Yeah.
So most school years are like 40 to 42 weeks. And
Correct.
If you're a kid and you're doing the math, you go, I got through 40. I got two left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough two. But just get through it.
Right. And those
it.
Final, either finals or final tests, exams, projects, stuff like that are still out there. So what I try to get kids to do, instead, so you do the fire up talk, but you also have to lay out the day.
Like, yeah.
You know, okay, so how are these days going to look differently than the last 40?
Right.
These last 40 weeks, you know,
right.
like when do you want to protect time to get things done? And different kids are inclined toward different times of day. Some kids, they can get home and get right to it. Most kids can't. Most kids need, like, I got to wind down. I need mm-hmm. a break. I need to play some video games, hit Snapchat up, see what's going on. Then maybe after dinner I can get to it. Or I've got a play practice, or I'm on the track team, or whatever
right.
it is. But the earlier I find they get to it, you know, once you start at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, I think you're already working with fatigue,
yeah.
and it's hard to get fired up for it. So in these last couple of weeks, scale it back if you can with your kids.
Right.
You know, and let them know. It's home stretch. It's the last couple of weeks here.
Almost there.
And yeah.
And the summer's so going to taste so good.
Right.
It really
right.
is. And I was thinking about it. It's a beautiful day today, as you mentioned, Bill, and the sun's out and you don't want to be in class. But it's going to be in the 70s, maybe upper 70s today. When they go back to school, that's even harder because that's when
right.
it's been like 96 degrees and
oh, yeah.
our schools are not air conditioned.
Right.
I don't know how with the taxes we pay. Seriously.
No, that's true. That's a big problem. It really is because kids note that as like by third period, I'm a mess.
Sweltering.
I'm exhausted and I'm sweltering. And yeah, that is part of it. One last note on firing them up. If things aren't going well, the press I give to parents is this is an opportunity. Take grades out of it for a minute and
yeah.
just say, hey, if you put some effort in on this back end, you're going to feel good going into the summer. And
oh.
you've got a little momentum going
yeah,
into
that's
next
true,
year.
Isn't it?
As opposed to feeling like, it just went the same as the rest of the week
right.
did, and my grades actually stayed the same or went down, you
yeah.
know, which happens an awful lot of the time. And then I see kids in June, July, and August who feel discouraged that whole time, as opposed to like, you know what, I did something those last couple of weeks. I think I can tap that
right.
come the fall.
Right.
Finish big, as someone just texted us. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You push a little farther when you see the finish line coming, right?
The mantra is not a difficult one, and I usually encourage kids, picture the finish line being a week past your last final,
right.
and then you'll run all the way through it.
Are you opposed to bribes?
No.
I'm serious. No. There have been some bribes going on.
I have the well-placed bribe I'm all about, especially this time of year. Typically, if this were February, I'd say the problem with bribes is you get yourself in too deep and the motivation becomes all the wrong thing. Like, okay, now I'm playing for Xbox time as opposed to like doing well. But right now, the stakes are high and you want that feel good. Hey, a little bribe here and there, I'll take it.
This text just in from Lori Laughlin, I don't think bribes are a good idea.
All right. But here's the thing, you're going to give your kid who doesn't have a job spending money anyway.
Right.
So make it look like it's some special thing, like if you accomplish this by this date, you're going to get a little bonus.
Right, exactly. A little bonus for a job well done. Right? So not even quite a bribe. Certainly not the Lori Loughlin style
right.
bribe.
Just shy of
We're not
that.
Promising a canoe.
Right.
Or whatever,
right.
A kayak.
That's fair.
If I had Lori Loughlin money,
yeah,
it wouldn't matter what his grades were.
Right. That's true, too. Yeah.
And he'd be good on the girls' crew team.
True. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having
me, guys. If people want to hear you, their best bet is to do what exactly?
Find me at drjohnduffy.com. Scroll down. There's all sorts of stuff. There's podcasts, and there's a book coming out in August, and all sorts of stuff.
Do we know the title yet, or are you saying the title or not?
I'm going to get the title right and the subtitle wrong.
Oh, all right.
So it's Parenting the New Teen, Raising Happy, Healthy Adults Ages 8 to 24.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yes. That's a bunch.
It's a mouthful.
That's
your girls still fall in that.
They still fall in.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So we better read it. Oh, less than a week away. I am so there.
You're there Tuesday night, right?
Yep.
Is that the night of the Who? Yeah. We have a pair of tickets to give away. You heard me right. We're giving you a pair of Who tickets. It's just that simple. Well, not exactly. You have to be a certain caller, and you have to square off against another certain caller, and then you get the Who tickets.
And it's a pair of tickets to the Who Moving On 2019 tour. They'll be at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park Tuesday night. It's a Live Nation show, and they're going to have an orchestra behind them, and I can't wait.
It's going to be fun. Here's what you need to do. Dial us up right now, 312-981-7200. Here's the number again, 312-981-7200. We will square two of you up against each other. Winner take all. The winner gets the Who tickets. The loser, Wendy, what do they get?
Nothing.
Nothing. And you'll like it.
We might be able to find something. Do you want it to be nothing?
I think they should get nothing.
All right.
I think it's our message to people that winning is better than losing.
Well, of course. Who doubted that for a minute?
If anyone was in doubt, we're about to prove our theory that winning way better than losing. 312-981-7200. Please be a Who fan. That's what we ask. Please be a Who fan.
I can't wait to get a t-shirt, I got to tell you. Although, I don't know how many concerts you went to in your life, but did you typically buy a t-shirt when you went?
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
That was like the highlight of my concert.
Was getting a concert t-shirt?
Yeah, but back then they were maybe $18.
Oh, yeah, they're a little bit pricier.
They're like
now.
$50 to $60 bucks.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Hmm.
All right, 312-981-7200. Let's find us some contestants, Wendy. Who shall it be?
All right, well, we've got Donna on the line. Hi, Donna, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Wendy?
Good. Are you a Who fan?
I am a Who fan.
How big on a scale of 1 to 16 would you say you are a Who fan?
I played the fifth on that.
Fifth? All right. That's fine. You're allowed to play the fifth.
All right. You want to meet your challenger?
Yes.
All right. This is Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hello there.
Jeff, Donna refuses to tell us how big of a Who fan she is, but I know you a lot more forthcoming. How big of a Who fan are you?
I'll give it a 9.
Yeah?
You're 16.
All right, that's fair. And have you ever seen them perform live before?
No.
Neither. No?
Neither?
Neither. Did I? Oh, Donna, you have. I'm sorry.
Of course I have.
For some reason, I thought you had not.
All right. Donna, where are you calling from?
Chicago.
And Jeff, where are you?
I'm from Gurnee.
Ah. Gurnee.
The old rivals, Wendy. Chicago and Gurnee finally squaring off. All right. Here's how it works, you guys. It's called the Who Are You game, of course, because of the Who and their song, Who Are You? I'm going to ask 10 questions, one at a time. The first one's worth 100 points. Second one's worth 200 points, all the way down to 1,000 points. Whoever has the most points at the end wins. When you know the answer, shout out your name, either Donna or Jeff. All the answers have the word Who in some form, like it could be who or whose or who'll. Somewhere the word who is in all 10 answers. You both understand the rules? Any questions?
No.
No questions.
No questions, Donna? Bill, I'm sorry, Jeff, any questions?
No, sounds good.
All right. Question one is worth 100 points. Like I said, buzz in by saying your name, either Donna or Jeff. All the answers have who somewhere within their name. Here goes, for 100 points. It's the musical line that comes after I wonder, 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 wonder who.
Donna.
Donna, go ahead.
Yes.
Donna was first.
Who is the Duke of Earl?
Incorrect, Donna, incorrect.
Oh.
Jeff, you can steal. I'll ask the question one more time. It's the musical line that comes after I wonder, 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 wonder who.
Who wrote the Book of Love?
Absolutely right, Jeff. You have 100 points.
Yes.
Jeff is our leader so far after one round, 100 to 0. Question two, it's worth 200 points. Remember, all the answers have who somewhere in the title. Categorically, it's a story about a murder in which the killer's identity isn't revealed until the end.
Wendy.
You already have Who tickets, Wendy. Oh, that'd be wrong.
I want free ones.
One more time.
Repeat that.
Sure. Categorically, it's a story about a murder in which the killer's identity isn't revealed until the end. No one on that one. Wendy, the right answer would have been?
Whodunit.
Whodunit. Absolutely right. After two rounds, Jeff, you lead 100-0. Question three is worth 300 points. It's the first line of the Mary Tyler Moore theme song.
Donna.
Donna?
Who can turn the world on with a smile?
Very, very nice. 300 points
Good
for
job.
You, Donna. You're in first
Yay.
Place. Jeff, you're close in second place with 100 points. Question four is worth 400. This is, without a doubt, Abbott and Costello's most famous routine.
Donna.
Donna was first.
Who's on first?
Yes. A commanding lead all of a sudden, Donna. 700
Woo-hoo!
Points.
Jeff, you were almost
Who
there.
Who am I?
Jeff. Now, that's not even a question. Wendy and I have to buzz in now.
Who is Donna?
Who is Donna? It's correct, Wendy. You continue your lead. Right now, 700 points for Donna, 100 for Jeff, but there's plenty of points still on the board. Question five is worth 500 points. Jeff, if you get this, you'll be trailing by only 100. This is the town terrorized by the Grinch in Dr. Seuss's Christmas.
Donna.
Donna was first.
What is Whosville?
Whosville is correct. Well, wait. Wendy, you're looking at me. It's slightly off.
It's not it.
It's slightly off. Do we not give it to her? No? It's up to you.
Half? I'll split with Jeff.
What is your final answer?
Final answer is what?
You're right. You're right there. But
Donna? Say it again.
Whosville?
I'd say that's not
Wendy
correct.
Wendy says no. Jeff, go ahead. You can steal it. What is it?
Whoville
is correct.
Come on. Those are two different places.
Those are two completely different places. You're off by a letter.
I said Whosville.
It's Whoville.
It's just Whoville, no Whos.
Oh.
Oh. All right. So
see, even Donna agrees.
Wait, now we have to go to New York to look at the replay. Hold on, Wendy. Hold on. No, they say Jeff.
Country house.
Jeff, you have 600. You trail Donna by only 100. We have five questions left. Good luck. Remember, quick remembrance, the word who in every answer. Guaranteed or your money back. For 600 points, Burton Cummings fronted this Canadian rock band responsible.
Jeff? Guess Who.
Guess Who is correct.
Guess Who.
You have taken a lead.
Woo!
Jeff has 1,200. Donna has 700. One correct answer here, though, would put you back in the lead, Donna. Here goes. For 700 points, this iconic sci-fi physician time travels.
Donna.
Donna was first.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is right. You have doubled your score, Donna. You have 1,400 points. Jeff, very, very close. Just 200 points behind with 1,200. There are three questions left. 1,400 for you, Donna. 1,200 for you, Jeff. Good luck. For 800 points. This is the title of the second installment in the Austin Powers movie series.
Wendy.
I don't like Austin Power.
All right, then I will throw out the question.
There's when you needed the S, Donna. Austin Power.
Nobody getting that one right. Wendy, what is the right answer there?
The Spy Who Shagged
yes,
Me.
Yes, absolutely right.
No, I wanted to tell you about The Spy Who Shagged Me.
No, we don't have time. We're in the middle of a game. There are two questions left. Donna, you have a 1,400 to 1,200 point lead over Jeff. Crucial. Both of these next two questions are crucial.
Come on, guys.
For 900 points. Roughly translated, this George Thorogood hit could be titled, what is the name of the person who I have amorous feelings toward?
Come on, Jeff.
One more time. Roughly translated, this George Thorogood hit could be titled, what is the name of the person who I have amorous feelings toward? No one getting that. Wendy, the right answer?
Who do you love?
Who do you love? It all comes down to this, our final question. Right now, Donna, you're our leader. You have 1,400 points. But, Jeff, you're just down by 200. So if one of you gets this right, you're the winner. If nobody gets it, Donna, you're our winner. Here goes for 1,000 points. Originally hosted by comedian Drew Carey, this long-lasting TV hit features Colin Mochrie, Ryan Stiles, and Greg Proops performing spur-of-the-moment improvisation.
You guys.
Originally hosted by Drew Carey, this long-lasting TV
Please.
Hit features Colin Mochrie, Ryan Stiles, and Greg Proops performing spur-of-the-moment improvisation. Nobody gets it. Wendy, the right answer.
Whose line is it
anyway? Whose line is it anyway? That means, Donna, by a score of 1,400 to 1,200, you're going to see The Who.
I wasn't a Drew Carey fan anyway.
Oh. Well, then
you're
that really
not a fan of
you.
Many people, but you do like the Who, right? All right, Jeff, great job. Sorry we have nothing for you, but we do have a chance for you to win tickets again on Friday.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff.
So sorry. And Donna, you hang on. We'll get your vitals. You are off to see the Who.
Thank you so much. Enjoy. And I'll see you Tuesday.
I will be there.
Do I have front row seats?
No.
Do I get to meet the band?
Listen, Donna, I paid a lot of money for these tickets, and I don't have front row seats, and I don't get to meet the band, so I would say no.
But stand next to Wendy and
I'm married to a musician. I need to meet them. Thank you anyway. I'm so happy. Thank you.
Congrats, right. Donna. Stay on the line. We'll get all your information. We'll take a quick break.
Wait, can I just say what you want?
Yes, please.
Right. And I have a son who's a musician, and that still didn't get me in. To meet Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey.
But I always recommend people, when you're ordering tickets, mention that you have a relative that's a musician, because usually they fall for it.
It'll get you nothing. No. All right, so Donna has walked away with our next pair of tickets to see The Who. It's the Moving On 2019 tour. The show opener will be Rainwolf, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater
Rainwolf,
in Tinley Park.
Wendy. I'm only going to see Rainwolf, and then I'm leaving.
Tuesday, May 21st. And
my grandpa's a musician. Can I get in to see Rainwolf? Oh.
And they have a new record, the first album of new songs in 13 years that's going to be released as well in cahoots with this.
That's
so
excellent.
I'm pretty excited. It's a Live Nation show. And did I just hear you gurgle?
Yeah. That's what Rainwolf does to me. I get excited.
All right. A quick break.
I'm going to call Gutter Shutter and tell them I got Rainwolf, see if they can fix that.
And coming up, tune into WGN Extra. We'd like to invite you to join us on the stream, and we'll talk about what's hot and what's cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. And there is a different phone number to call if you'd like to join us on the stream. And I keep forgetting to give this in advance.
Oh.
So 312-235-2525. Jot that down, 312-235-2525. We're on WGN Extra, which you can find on the app, or if you go to WGNradio.com.
We don't have time to explore this in great detail, but a texter has sent us a note. We were talking about Tim Conway earlier, and apparently somewhere on the roadways here in Illinois, there's...
It's near Arlington Park, the racetrack.
Near Arlington Park. There's one of those billboards that they can switch whenever they want to.
The electronic ones?
I wasn't going to use the highfalutin language, but yes, the electronic ones. And it pays tribute to Tim.
Yeah, it's like a little... but I just went past a digital billboard near Arlington Park. It said, "Thank you for the laughs, Tim Conway, 1923 to 1919, but I think that's a mistake.
No,
that would be 2019.
Right.
Thought it was really nice. They also had a really nice picture of a young Tim Conway.
Oh.
But I don't know who's responsible for it. Like, somebody probably did that.
Right.
So
normally,
was it a radio station?
Was it us?
Let's just say we did it.
It was you and me. Yeah, we paid for that.
Because everybody feels for Bill now that he's passed. Not you haven't passed,
no,
but Tim Conway.
I'm still alive, Wendy.
And if
that's
Tim,
such a nice tribute, though.
That's
excellent.
Pretty sweet.
Whoever did that, thank you.
That's what I love about those electronic billboards.
Yeah.
Because it can be changed, like,
yeah,
very quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe WGN Radio's behind it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I would be now, considering we gave everyone else credit.
Right.
Also, thanks to White Castle, they have dropped off their barbecue brisket slider.
I had never had one before today. Very delicious.
It's barbecue season, Bill. That's what they tell us. And you can go to whitecastle.com, and lunchtime is just about here. So go and stop.
Go get some White Castles.
Really delish.
Yes. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll turn things over to Steve. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. Join us there or stick around here for the Wintrust Business Lunch.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.